Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome back to the show. My name is Noel.
Our compatriot Matt is on adventures and will be returning soon. They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. It's been, I feel like we say this every week, but it's been a wild week in the news. Want to thank everybody who's given us some leads, given us some responses to earlier stories we did. Just to get this out of the way, Noel, I think we need to do a full episode on Columbia in the future, as well as ghost guns. But today's strange news is not about any of that. Today's strange news is there's some humorous stuff, I would say, but it's also both of our stories today are a study of the darkness of the human soul in some ways. We've got a story in Iraq. We've got a mystery in the U.S. And then, you know, we might maybe for our third act, Noel, what do you say we add a little bit about our fears of the rising price of gas at the end?
Sure. Sounds good to me. Something I fear daily.
I know. We're at that age now where I always picture like middle school me learning the stuff that current version of me cares about.
Well, it's also one of the few ways that I can like comprehend inflation in my mind, because I have a distinct memory of being a kid and gas costing 99 cents a gallon.
Yeah. And this was maybe in Augusta.
Yeah, it was in Augusta, of course, where it's always going to be cheaper than here in Atlanta. And then, God forbid, you go someplace like Los Angeles, where it's just, you know, rapaciously expensive. But I also remember that Ninja Turtles action figures were $4.
Interesting. It's interesting what details stay with us, especially because, you know, the way memory works, which we've talked about, and the fact that the past is often little more than a watercolor in the rain, it is almost as if at times our brains play pranks on us. How's that for a segue?
I love it.
On a scale of one to segue, was that a segue?
It was definitely a segue. It was practically like one of those little scooters you take tours on.
Oh, thanks, man. This is your story today is something that was fascinating to me. I've just been reading up on it before we record. I don't know a ton about this. What's going on in Iraq?
Well, you know, prank shows in general, even here in the U.S., like what was it, Punked with Ashton Kutcher? They're popular, and it's something that takes a lot of effort to pull off correctly. The more elaborate the prank, the better. It requires a lot of planning and cooperation and, you know, keeping quiet and not spoiling it for the participants. But these things can get out of hand. You know, it certainly can. And that's exactly what has happened in Iraq, where prank shows are hugely popular, but like way more elaborate and frankly, quite cruel prank shows. I heard about this on one of my favorite YouTube channels, Internet Today. They were talking about the kind of updated version of the story, but in getting to that, they talked about this whole kind of culture. And one of the pranks they described was there's a couple of different like famous pranksters, but one of them was like they all involve celebrities luring them to some sort of scenario where then you know something crazy happens, and one of them was like a ship that was simulated to be sinking, and these like fake shark fins were surrounding them along with like severed body parts and stuff, and it's like you know I mean these are essentially psychological warfare tactics, the kinds of things that I can't imagine being one of these celebrities. And being subjected to something like that, and then being totally cool with it and signing a release. Because, you know, you have, you know, and you oftentimes you see on these types of shows, even in that new Eric Andre movie, which is called, something like that. But it was sort of a combination of a prank show, unscripted, kind of improv storytelling, but also involved like real people. A lot of it was filmed around Atlanta. And you see occasionally there's some folks that didn't think it was funny and consequently didn't sign the release. And you know that because their faces are blurred out. But this story is particularly about one show in Iraq that got canceled. It's a show called Tom Ruslan, where celebrities are invited, or at least in this particular segment, celebrities are invited to visit families, Iraqi families who have been displaced as a result of fleeing various terrorist groups. So, I mean, of course, we know that the climate, the political climate in Iraq has and continues to be very dicey. And, you know, life there is not certainly not always as comfy as it may be here in the States. And there are, you know, things that folks are very acutely aware of that we just don't necessarily. I mean, obviously, things have gotten kind of dicey here, too, with, you know, insurrections at the Capitol and, you know, riots and these huge protests, but not nearly the same as the kind of peril that regular folks over in Iraq would face every single day. And this show is kind of capitalizing on that fear in a really weird and divisive way. So again, the idea is these celebrities are supposed to visit displaced Iraqi families who have fled extremist groups. And they are taken, they arrive at these supposed homes where they are then ambushed by actors portraying jihadi fighters. And there are fake explosions and, you know, dummy rounds and muzzle flares and all the things. They're blindfolded, the celebrities, by these actors, and had fake suicide vests strapped to their chests. And as far as they're concerned, this is all very real. And it's absolutely the kind of thing that there would be a threat of happening during a visit like this, you know?
Especially right. Daesh has been, like, these are known things.
That's exactly right, Iraq. Ben. Yep. Mm-hmm. So imagine you're a celebrity and you're going to visit a family that has supposedly fled Daesh. And, you know, I would think there would be some trepidation that goes along with that. Maybe these families are targeted. So all of this stuff would track, you know, as being very, very real. One participant was a guy by the name of Alaa Mahwi, who was a soccer player, a well-known soccer player in Iraq. And he, in the segment, was, you know, in tears, was begging for his life. A 58-year-old actor by the name of Nesma, which is famous enough to just have like one name, I imagine. She actually passed out after they strapped her with this supposed explosive vest. So this isn't the only example of this type of thing. This was just probably one of the more extreme ones. And it was so controversial. You know, folks, viewers were just absolutely outraged, many were. A Twitter user by the name of Bilal al-Mosuli wrote, "This is not entertainment." And, you know, there was a huge outcry that this was crossing a line. And ethically speaking, crossing a line. Not only is it offensive and in poor taste, ethically, you know, to these participants, it's essentially a form of abuse. You know, it really is.
Well, what happens if someone is armed, right? And I know they carefully prune security for these celebrities. I always thought prank shows are mean-spirited, like the hidden camera stuff. There's 100%. An important distinction here. There are two important distinctions. First, the situation in Iraq is incredibly unstable in comparison to the U.S. So it's the epitome of too soon, right? The detractors would say for these sorts of pranks. But secondly, the way a lot of prank shows in the U.S. work is that the people who are on them kind of get over their embarrassment when they realize they're going to be on TV, which we so often conflate with being famous, right? And so these folks, these victims, are already celebrities.
Right.
They don't need that media push. I do want to shout out, though, so it doesn't sound like I'm just dumping on all prank shows. I like a lot of Japanese prank shows. I've gone into the rabbit hole there, and I never really made it out. And they do things like, they do things that probably also wouldn't fly in the West, like an elevator floor drops off, or there's, you know, a screamy ghost thing or a flash mob of people is running at you. But this is a level of magnitude more extreme because we've got fake suicide bombs. We've got procedures that terrorist groups really would do if they were kidnapping someone. And I just keep thinking, like, what if one of these celebrities has a firearm? Right. Or someone in their escort has a firearm, or what if they themselves have a knife? This could get ugly very quickly.
Even just with hand to hand, right? Like if they really, you know, decided to take matters into their own hands and, you know, just try to disarm, say, one of the assailants and maybe like pistol whip them or something, you know, or God knows. But like I'm looking at these images and it's just absolute pandemonium. You know, this soccer player, I mean, he has the look of abject horror on his face. He's blindfolded. A man is leading him by the arm. He's had his hands bound, you know. I don't understand. Maybe it's a cultural thing, maybe. I don't know. I just would be so angry if this happened to me, unless there was, you know, short of some massive payout. Can you imagine being willing to sign that release?
Yeah, that's the question. It's weird because I'm looking at an update from about 6 days ago from the BBC. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to wonder how somebody would sign that release. They probably have their agent or PR person telling them to be cool, but they're making references to things like Saddam Hussein's war crimes in a prank show.
Right.
Apparently, just a few days ago, as we record today, regulators in Iraq have banned two different shows that were doing this, one called Roslyn's Shooting and one called Tony's Bullet.
Right.
I think the breaking point, the part that went a bridge too far, is when, as you mentioned, that actor passed out after having fake explosives strapped to her. But I also want to point out, have you noticed, you know, I study language all the time. Have you noticed everybody saying a bridge too far now?
I'm a fan. I like it.
I like it. I'm just wondering where it came from.
A bridge too far. It doesn't quite make sense. I'm a little, like, does it mean the bridge is too long? It's dangerous. Like, you wouldn't want to walk on a bridge for an extended period. I mean, I don't know. Bridges kind of freak me out when you're driving, especially if the sides are really short.
It's a 1977 film.
Oh.
Based on a book.
Is it like A Bridge Over Troubled Water? I don't know.
Let's see. It is. It looks like a war film or a book about war. It looks like it's about Operation Market Garden, which was, I can't tell you more, folks, in case you want to see where A Bridge Too Far comes from. Don't let us spoil it for you. You'll have to check it out. All we can say is Operation Market Garden, but that was a real thing and not a prank. And going back to what we're talking about, it looks like Iraq is not unique in the Arab world for controversial prank shows. There's another one in Egypt, Ramal's Sub-Zero.
I haven't heard about this one, Ben. Give me the scoop.
So Ramal's Sub-Zero is presented by a guy named Ramaz Galal, and apparently it's been coming under a lot of fire, or it was a few years back. People were getting injured on the show, but then also there were backstage complaints alleging that he was sexually harassing certain actors.
Mm. Yeah, that's the thing about shows like this. I mean, it really does call into question, you know, the ethics. If you're willing to do stuff that's this ethically questionable, where else are you cutting corners, you know, in terms of safety? I still I continue to press, and then if any listeners out there have any thoughts, I'd love to hear it, you know, how they convince these folks, these well-to-do folks, you know, who are known and like national treasures for all intents and purposes, how they convince them to not be absolutely enraged. Also, like, who thought this was a good idea? You know, like, I get it's all about ratings, but this just seems like sci-fi type stuff. You know what I mean? Like the kind of stuff you would see in some weird dystopian future world that's just taking some reality television to the most intense extreme.
Well, you know, like, as I said earlier, I've often considered a lot of pranks in general kind of mean-spirited. There's something bullyish about it where you're doing something that would obviously make you upset if it happened to you. But then you're going, oh, what? You can't take a joke, bro. Ha, ha, ha. You know, you're eye candy camera. Sorry, we killed your dog or whatever. You can pay off, I almost said normals. You can pay off non-celebrities, right? But it is a difficult proposition when you think about how you would pay off people who probably don't need the money. I did not particularly care for, this goes back to that BBC article I was mentioning, I did not particularly care for the rationalization that one of the show's writers made, one of the writers for Rosalind's shooting. This guy, Dargham Abu Rigif, said, yeah, okay, the scenes are harsh, but if the Islamic State had won, artists would have a far harder life, and all Iraqis too. I don't think pointing out that the Islamic State is bad automatically makes your cruel sketch show good. And for anybody who's saying, hey, wait, guys, how is this stuff they don't want you to know? I would argue that all pranks are by nature conspiratorial on some level.
100%. And like I said, I mean, you know, we've talked about in the past those extreme haunted house situations where you essentially pay someone to kidnap you and abuse you, you know, and that's something you have to sign a release for yourself in advance and a waiver. Because I think the point you made, Ben, and that piece made about the actor kind of passing out, it could have been a heart attack, could have been a stroke, you know, like some like intense events like this can trigger like serious health, you know, conditions if you've got something like that. Ben, there's another article on the BBC, maybe the one you're referring to, but it's from way back in 2017. Apparently, a lot of this whole culture of prank TV in Islamic countries in particular is tied to Ramadan. And like the fasting month. There's in particular in North Africa, there are a few of these shows, one of which was called Ramaz, the Fox of the Desert, where, again, guests, celebrity guests are, they board.
It's the same guy.
Yeah, Ramaz, right, exactly. Right. Board a bus that is then mock taken over by militants, and they, like, execute the driver, take over the bus, and then blindfold all of the participants. Again, I think using the word participants is not right. These folks have been manipulated and hijacked, you know, and essentially handcuffing them and making them believe that they are about to be mass executed. And yeah, it's just it's pretty wild. There's another one, again, with the sinking ship. There is another one involving, this one's a little more kind of lighthearted and like horror, and you kind of know this wasn't real. But they seal some celebrities in sort of like a mock Egyptian tomb. And then there's like a mummy that comes to life and like, you know, spooks them or whatever. But again, that's one you could probably justify as like, okay, well, that's way better than convincing them in a situation where they absolutely could be at risk that they're being hijacked by militants to be executed. But you're right, Ben. All of this stuff is absolutely conspiratorial. I mean, you know, like, this reminds me of that movie, The Game, with Michael Douglas, you know, spoiler alert, I guess, for a, you know, 20-year-old movie. But it's like this elaborate series of events that the main character believes to be real, only at the end to realize that it's all this elaborate kind of stunt that's being perpetrated by his brother as a birthday gift. But it all goes, you know, horribly awry, of course. Have you seen that movie, Ben?
I have, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, prank shows like this are going to continue. There will always be an audience for something like this. Because it's cathartic. It's the same reason that there will always be people who slow down to stare at car accidents.
Totally. No, you nailed it, man. So I'm surprised that this hadn't crossed my radar before, but it's definitely, I guess it's something they're having to reassess. I don't know if, again, like you said, Ben, if there's an audience, they're probably going to find a way to do it, whether they soften it a little bit or what. But yeah, I can't stop, you know, thinking about this in terms of some sort of like, you know, bread and circuses gone awry in some sort of dystopian future world where, you know, they literally just kidnap people and torture them on television for, you know, people's amusement.
Oh, and before we go to a break, that horror house we're mentioning, often called the most extreme horror house, haunted house, rather. It's not really haunted. It's a torture room. Mm-hmm. It's called McCamey Manor. And my conspiracy theory about McCamey Manor is that the guy who's doing it is actually making money by running some sort of betting ring, possibly based out of Vegas or somewhere online, where people are betting on how long these people can endure this torture.
Well, there's a documentary about that, and he definitely does have subscribers that pay to watch it, like a lot of them. And that's a big part of his business model. The betting part, certainly, I could see how that would be something like they might not have put in the documentary. But there's definitely cam kind of situations where people, a big part of his business model is, you know, getting paid subscriber fees for streaming these scenes of people very consensually being tortured. Because again, they are literally sign a waiver saying, you know, you can do whatever you want to me. I don't know exactly what the language of the waiver is, but
no, it's not going to hold up in court.
Not if they like die, right?
Well, they're signing under duress too. It's gross.
Oh, I think they have to sign it before they go. And there's a big long waiting list. So I don't think they're signing it.
24,000 now. Mm-hmm. But I know back in the day it changed. It was a lot more physical too. It's weird. But yeah, hopefully we'll one day see it in two mean-spirited prank shows. I personally don't think it'll happen, but it would be for the benefit of humanity if it did.
Agreed. Well, let's take a quick break and hear a word from our sponsor, and then we'll be back with some more strange news.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. on demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we have returned. Special notice, folks, the following story may not be appropriate for all audience members. It will contain descriptions of abuse. So, longtime listeners, you may recall that we extensively covered the story of Joseph James DeAngelo, who was also known as the Visalia Ransacker or the East Area Rapist. We had covered his story in a, I believe, a previous episode on uncaught serial killers, which was, you know, the terrifying thing about that is it ended up being a multi-part episode. And then we were able to cover this man's arrest, his discovery, his incarceration, which entirely hinged on the growing DNA info networks. And he was caught through a relative's DNA. In that episode, or in that story, one thing that we mentioned was that we predicted, it was a very easy prediction, that this was going to only be the first of more high-profile cases like this in the future. And pretty recently, that assumption of ours was proven correct. You may not have heard of John Daly III, who is currently 57 years old, unless you lived around the U.S.-Mexico border or you were involved with U.S. Border Patrol. John Daly III had recently retired, and he was all set to live a quiet life in his elder years, his golden years, I guess they might call it. But he has been arrested because he is suspected of being a serial sexual assaulter who terrorized Arizona for at least between 1999 and 2001. So more like two decades ago, he was doing this and he got away functionally. The crimes he's accused of were attributed to a figure called the East Valley Rapist, who sexually assaulted eight women in four different cities in Arizona. And the police talk about how they went through this process of uncovering this very cold case. And folks, while we are talking about this, please be aware that this is breaking. So there may be more information that comes. And often in these cases, it is not uncommon for more victims, more crimes to be discovered. So we're not by any means saying it's limited to these eight victims. Here's what they did. They used something called SAKI, Sexual Assault Kit Initiative Funding, and they went back through and started trying to chase down leads. A history check showed that John Daly III had a residency near each of these assaults at the time they occurred. And then just last month, DNA linked him to two, and then DNA linked him to a third. And they know about his MO. They know about they know a lot about him. And you can read the official Mesa Police Department statement here. And it tells us, you know, it tells us some terrifying things. They allege that they know his MO as well. They say that his pattern was to enter a victim's home through an unlocked door or a window if it was open. And if the window wasn't open, then he would break it. And in all three cases where his DNA is tied, he blindfolded the victims. As we record now, it's very important to note he is being held without bail. And because of his employment with U.S. Customs and Border Protection, people are wondering how many victims he may have had that were perhaps undocumented that might have slipped through the cracks. And maybe the course of his abominable career, he was evolving. He was learning to target people who, in a very real way, had no way to fight back. Had you heard about this case at all?
No. I'm definitely familiar with how important the DNA tech was in cracking that East Area Rapist case, but this one is news to me. And looking at an image of this guy, he definitely has a vibe. He gives off kind of a real sense of dread just looking at his face.
It doesn't, you know, it's very difficult to ascribe motivation from a still photograph, but it does not appear to be a facial expression of someone experiencing remorse. It makes you sound very inhuman to say that, Noel, but I think you'll agree here. Also, they had the DNA evidence, but the way they caught him was they got one of his longtime work buddies from law enforcement to set up a ruse, almost like a prank, to take him into custody. He was armed at the time. He resisted arrest. They didn't shoot him. So when they take him in, they search his home and they find a cache of weapons as well as some newspaper clippings about the assaults. This does not look like a frame-up job, is what I'm saying here. Border Patrol officials cooperated in the case, but now there are so many questions about, there's so many questions about the timeline, right? So he is arrested. It's 2021. Why did he stop 20 years ago? Or did he just, you know, evolve to find, or did he just start targeting undocumented victims? Or did he, you know, did he, like D'Angelo Jr., eventually get to the point where sexual violence wasn't enough and he had to murder them as well?
Right. I mean, we certainly see, again, in my experience with a lot of this stuff, other than, you know, true crime reporting and things like that, is, you know, profiler type shows and films. And often you do see escalation if people aren't caught, especially if it's something that's very fetishistic. And then it can kind of, you know, the urge to rape can be supplanted by, or, you know, it's like you keep pushing yourself to further and further extremes. You always want the next most extreme thing. And then that could potentially be murder.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point. You have to wonder what he thought when D'Angelo was captured. Did John Daly III feel the noose closing in? When he stopped and when he was active, at least from what we know now, DNA collection was already a thing. So maybe he eventually decided to take steps to lessen his DNA footprint, or maybe he just started taking people's lives as well. This is going on the heels of other reports. You know, it wasn't too long ago. It was actually a little bit less than a year ago, around August 2020, when the story broke about ICE guards that were sexually assaulting detainees in an organized manner in an El Paso detention center. So this guy at this point appears to be a lone actor. But what I'm establishing here, you know, and I'm not by any means trying to paint with a broad brush or loop everyone together unfairly, but we already have a very recent example of authorities abusing these very vulnerable people. So one of the questions, if you're someone who stands against the current border policy, for lack of a better word, then, you know, one of your next immediate questions is, well, what else is happening that's not getting reported? I mean, do you think this guy could have had committed more crimes? I'm almost certain.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, especially with such a long history of operating and then sort of like a going dark period, right? Like, mm-hmm. I just feel like it's a matter of him being under the radar for that period of time, not having been completely dormant. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Because even people like BTK were able to, they hit pause for a while, but eventually they were back to committing these heinous crimes. As we speak, Daly is incarcerated. He was given more than a dozen felony charges related to those three that they haven't pinned with the DNA for. But again, they suspect him strongly in a total of 8 sexual assault cold cases. And this takes us to something a little bit different that I wanted to talk about in the U.S. And I don't know if it's something that everyone's aware of. It doesn't get as much press as it should, in my opinion. But we've all heard, if you're familiar with true crime, or you're familiar with shows like Law and Order and anything else in the Dick Wolf oeuvre, then you are doubtlessly, you've heard the phrase rape kit before. And you know, as we're recording, we're very well aware that per the statistics, it is likely that someone in the audience today has had to experience this process firsthand. And we in no way make light of it, but we do need to point out one of the biggest problems here. There is a rape kit backlog in the U.S., and it goes across states, it goes across county lines. It is a huge silent problem. We don't even know how many are sitting, just gathering dust, untested in storage facilities for police precincts or crime labs across the country. It's estimated that there are hundreds of thousands of these kits, and each one of them in this nationwide epidemic, each one of those represents a lost opportunity to bring justice to criminals who got away. The Atlantic in 2019, dude, they estimated that there were as many as 200,000 of these kits that are just unopened. And it seems like that should be an easy thing to solve, right? Is it funding? Is it... What is motivating this? It's unclean, man.
Yeah, it's weird because you think about how militant so many police forces are when it comes to being able to, I guess, police certain underserved populations, let's just say. But then when people are actually victims of crimes, sometimes people get left out in the cold and there's no follow through. But when it comes to like squashing protests or, you know, pulling over and I'm sorry not to get soapboxy about it, but it's just, how can you ignore it? Pulling over and ultimately killing so many, you know, unarmed people of color. This makes it extra heartbreaking, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Noel. The Atlantic article that I mentioned before by Carolyn Mims Nice, N-Y-C-E, she answers these questions in a pretty interesting way. She had the first question that a lot of us have hearing about this. She said, why has this stuff that could break cases and bring justice to victims, why has it sat around for so long? According to this journalist, a big factor is police culture. She alleges that a lot of officers might not take allegations of sexual assault seriously, and they may drag their feet. Women especially are discredited so often in these reports. Like, let's say you have a criminal history, or you were not sober during the attack, or you somehow knew your victim, or you didn't fight back. You know, they're subjected to skepticism at his, honestly, probably one of the worst moments of their lives. And then we know that there are promising results. I wanted to bring this all the way back around to the Sexual Assault Kit Initiative, or SAKI. It had mixed results. Some very good, like in Detroit and Cleveland. They've been pretty successful. SAKI allocated, by the way, $154 million in funding to these local jurisdictions to start going through this backlog. But then other places like Connecticut have received $3 million in funding, and they have at this point not resulted in charges or convictions. But that, I think, I would argue that alone is not an excuse not to be vigilant and test every one of these. Because I am not being hyperbolic and I am not being alarmist when I say that those kits will lead to convictions. All of them, probably not. Some of them, yes. And there are repeat offenders out there. It is a statistical certitude. It's impossible that there would not be at this point, given this problem. So with that, we will give pertinent updates on the story of John Daly III as they come up. We'd love to hear your opinion on the backlog of these kits, why it happened, how to fix it. 1-833-STD-WYTK. You can also email us directly, where we're conspiracy at iHeartRadio.com. Noel, this was a heavy one. I say we take a break and then come back with something a little bit less dire. What do you think?
I think I'm with you, Ben. I think I'm with you. It's something that, you know, hopefully will give people something they can actually do.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com. where America goes to hire.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
We're back. I know in the past I made a lot of car references. We're not turning this show into car stuff, we promise, but we do want to see how this story plays out. You may have heard this in the news, folks. The Colonial Pipeline has been hacked. Noel, do you remember? It wasn't too long ago. Time's funny during the pandemic. But we did a story on Strange News, I think it was, about a hacker in Florida who just, like, for the lulls, hacked into a water treatment plant.
Yeah, injected it with, was it like mercury? No, it wasn't mercury. It was some chemical that in small amounts was used in the water treatment, but basically upped the release of this chemical to what would have been toxic levels. Bleach?
Yeah.
Ammonia? I think it was ammonia.
It was lye, wasn't it?
That's the one. Thank you, Ben. Which also, as it turns out, is a great way to dissolve a body.
Right. And this hacker, who was unidentified at the time we did the story, increased that supply by 100 times the allowable level. And when we talked about this story, we're kind of into this real life supervillain thing, mainly because the guy got caught and no one died of ingesting massive amounts of lye. But we made a prediction and we said, you know, this is the boring part of infrastructure, right? This is the stuff that doesn't make the news because it doesn't have a cute, fuzzy animal or it doesn't have a single human face you can put on the screen to be representative of a larger problem. It's not a lot of people get elected by saying, first thing I'm going to do is raise taxes so we can rebuild all these crumbly bridges. And if you don't do that boring stuff, if you don't focus on that infrastructure, then you end up with further disasters. That's right, folks. We're talking about the Colonial Pipeline, which is a Georgia-based company, right?
That's right. It is a pipeline that transports fuel from east to west coast. Isn't that right, Ben? Or up along the east coast? It's quite a long stretch of pipeline.
Yeah.
Big part of the supply chain.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Here's what happened. These hackers broke into the Colonial Pipeline, and this prompted the company to shut down one of what's been described as one of the U.S.'s major arteries for fuel. And as of today, we're recording this May 10th, it's been shut down for 4 days. A shadowy criminal network, which I never thought we'd say unironically, one more time, a shadowy criminal network called DarkSide, all one word for anybody wow. checking on your browser. Yeah, they have issued a statement and they were holding the company for ransom, essentially. The FBI has attributed this attack to DarkSide. They haven't They haven't explicitly identified themselves. People in the know in the world of hacking, at least the government experts, believe that this group may be based in Russia or Eastern Europe. And that's because its ransomware targets computers that do not use keyboards in the language of former Soviet republics. So there's already one workaround, right? Just make everybody in the U.S. oil industry learn Russian.
No? Why not? Why not?
Why not? Yeah. Duolingo.
So, it's easy. Yeah, just 30 minutes a day. You'll be fluent in no time.
So just to be clear, ransomware, I feel like we all know this now, but ransomware is a kind of malware that will encrypt files on a device, rendering files and systems unusable. And then the people who are responsible for the attack will come back in and say, you got to pay us, probably in Bitcoin or some other, blockchain. You got to pay us and then we'll decrypt your stuff. So they're holding it hostage. Current U.S. President Joe Biden says there's no evidence so far that Russia was involved with the attack. But a statement in the group's name said, our goal is to make money and not creating problems for society. And it's weird because, again, we don't know how this is going to play out, when that line's going to get turned back on, whether or not they're going to offer, they're actually going to pay the ransom. This network, as you mentioned earlier, Noel, is more than 5,000 miles long. And it doesn't just move the gas that goes in your car. It moves jet fuel. It moves diesel. This could be a very difficult time because we're already, there's still so many pandemic shortages. Like, did you hear about ketchup packets?
I did hear about that. Yeah. It's an odd one. They're going to start rationing them out. Those sweet, sweet ketchup packets. I like to just squeeze them right out of the pack. I'm kidding. I'm not a monster.
Oh, well, I think I might be a monster because sometimes I've been in a hurry and I've been like, little zing of tomato sugar. That'll get me going.
But as it turns out, ketchup, not keto, not part of this balanced keto diet, which I am attempting with every inch of my being. It's hard.
Oh, you got it, man.
Thanks,
buddy. You got it. You just got to make it through that keto flu. Isn't that what they call it?
And then you'll be golden. So. Well, I haven't gotten there yet, so obviously I'm not doing it right.
Well, maybe it's not everybody, but I know people who swear by it. Our colleague Anna from Ethnically Ambiguous and the Daily Zeitgeist is a great person to talk about.
Totally. With.
And we didn't predict ketchup packet shortages. We didn't predict a lot of other shortages that are all domino effects of the pandemic. Like if you were trying to buy a house right now and you're surprised they were so expensive, that's partially because the cost of materials skyrocketed. Because for a while, people weren't out making timber, right? They weren't out making drywall, stuff like that. And those effects are going to last for a while. But now, at a pretty bad time, we are facing a possible, I don't know, I hope it doesn't go to a full gas crisis. But, Noel, you and Doc and I were talking about this right before we rolled. And I never, this is what I'm talking about when I wonder what our middle school selves would think of us. Because I felt like I sounded like such an elderly old creature. When we were on, it was like, everybody fill up your gas tanks now.
And totally. And I also sounded similarly so when I said, back when I was a boy, I remember gas was 99 cents on the gallon.
And a Teenage Ninja Turtle was $4.
$3.99 to be specific, because it would trick you into thinking it was only three. I remember telling my parents, but Mom, it's only $3.
Yes. Yeah, I was there. I was there too with some various toys, and I would always try to phrase things as an extra added value. Like, why buy one comic book? If you really want your kid to read, I think you should go for six. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're investing in the future.
Obviously. Yeah.
So we wanted to report this because we didn't want to end on some of our earlier segments. Secondly, we wanted to see how this shakes out. So this episode is going to be coming out about 7 days from now. We don't know exactly how things will shake out, but we will want to hear about Whether gas is spiked in your neck of the woods, we want to hear if you think that there will be more problems like this in the future. We know that just yesterday, on May 9th, as we record, Colonial had restarted some smaller lines, but the main lines are shut. The artery is clogged. I don't know, man. This could lead to price spikes. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to gas up my car after this.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, we don't have to drive a hell of a lot. So we're working from home. I mean, not that we, you know, we definitely are beginning to get back into the swing of, it's not like it's the end of it or anything, but relatively speaking, post-COVID life. But also I'm going to be definitely saving some gas because my car has two flat tires and is, dead in the water in my driveway right now. And I couldn't get an appointment for mobile tire repair until Friday. So perfect timing for me. I'm just going to make this my life now. I'm just going to get used to not driving because gas is going to reach Mad Max level, scarcity before we know it.
Well, and also if you've ever lived in a place where you don't have to drive, it's kind of great. Were you and I talking about this, about living in New York? You're always on the subway.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like more likely to be in better shape.
Totally. It's just, we were talking about in terms of my kid and the new school that she's going to go to next year, because she's going to a school that is walking distance from her new house. And nothing is better than functional exercise, like biking and getting somewhere and then coming back. You know what I mean? Like, it's great. Mm-hmm. When you have to go somewhere to walk, it always feels like a chore. But if you're just doing it as part and you have a reward by getting somewhere at the end, and then you just do it every day, it becomes like second nature. You don't even think about it.
Yeah, that's why I do a lot of night walks when I'm doing QAs, where that's the part where we listen to an episode before it comes out to make sure that we didn't curse so much that Doc or Paul forgot to bleep us saying stuff like mother. That's at the very end. They never miss. They're so much better at this than we are. So I think that's our show for today. Noel, thank you again for giving me a tiny excuse. That's all I need to dive back into the world of Japanese prank shows. And here's hoping that we'll see some justice and some further investigation of those sexual assault kits. And, you know, here's hoping that our post-pandemic world still has affordable gas. But what do you think about all these things, folks? We cannot wait to hear from you. Hit us up. We try to be easy to find online. Oh, we don't always do this, not just as a show, but as individuals.
As individuals, you can find me as an individual person. I'm pretty much only on Instagram. I've got accounts elsewhere, but I don't really do anything on them. But you can find me on Instagram at HowNowNoelBrown. Ben is much more of the social media renaissance man.
Oh, it's a pandemic. I'm not going places to talk to people. But you can find out more about my misadventures and a little behind the scenes of stuff they don't want you to know on Twitter at Ben Bolin HSW, on Instagram at Ben Bull. It's literally my name. I don't know how I forgot that. BOWLIN. While you're on the internet, if you want to check out the best Facebook page on the planet or in the galaxy, go to Here's Where It Gets Crazy. You'll even see Noel and I popping up there occasionally as ourselves. If you hate social media, we've got another solution for you.
This is our compatriot Matt Frederick's favorite form of communication. And if you leave a message after the sound of Ben's dulcet tone at 1-833-STDWYTK, you might just get yourself a call back from Matty Two Hands himself.
That's right. Oh, man. Never going to live. I'm so glad he's okay with that nickname. It's just epic. Also, I have to ask real quick, Noel, does Matt call you a lot?
No.
No. Okay. No. So this is something that might just be for you all.
It's very special. I mean, these days, you know, typically a phone call is tantamount to, like, you see someone calling you and your immediate reaction is distrust and annoyance. It's like, well, you couldn't just text me. But a call from Matt Frederick is something different entirely, my friends.
And not to be missed. I have a very short list of people I answer the phone for. Because in 2021, it's kind of like somebody showing up at your house and just knocking on the door. you know. But yes, the rumors are true. You may get a call from Matt Frederick himself. We've also had great conversations as a group with some listeners who chimed in. So please be part of the show. Just let us know if we can use your voice and name on air. If you're saying, I'm with you guys, I hate phones, you better not let Matt call me. Then we have another solution for you. You can reach us anytime, 24/7, at our good old-fashioned email address, where we are.
Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.